The Lord be with you. It is good to have you all in our Lord's house this day as we gather together for this third Sunday after the Feast of Pentecost. A few notes to highlight today. Littles, all of you littles, I know that we are on hiatus for Sunday school, summer break, but after church, if you would stop and see Miss Stephanie, she has in her possession something to show you that is related to the sermon text for today, for the gospel reading. So go and see her after church for a real quick little thingamabobber. In our prayers, we remember Fran Friedel, who experienced a breakage of foot bones this week. She had surgery on Friday, had them screwed and bolted back together, so she's at home resting, but as you know with Fran, she'll be racing about soon enough, so we pray for healing for her. Luann Bielkini is in the hospital in Oroville, so we pray for her as well as she is experiencing some difficulties there. We've been praying for Diane Gumbs' brother-in-law, Bob Bartron, suffering from a very, very rare form of blood cancer. So we pray for continued strength for him as he continues to deal with that situation. In addition to those that are in our prayers as well this morning, I'm adding my aunt to the prayer list as she appears to be ready to go and be with the Lord in the next couple of days. So we'll pray for my Aunt Mary as well. DJ, our good friend, is, if you need something done, do you need your car washed? Do you need your lawn mowed? Do you need your bushes trimmed? Do you need basically pretty much anything and everything? No ditches, no roofs, right? And no windows. If you need some assistance with those sorts of things, DJ will be glad to help you out. He doesn't want to get paid for it. He just wants to stay busy. So if you need some assistance with that, please chat with him. I'll drop his phone number in the grace notes this next week as well. If you don't get a hold of him here, so please make use of that if you are able to. Next Sunday, looks like we're reopening along with everything else, which should happen on Tuesday. So we will return to communion at the rail. We'll be back to needing an acolyte again for that. Pretty much what everything looked like last March and before. So again, if you're still a little bit leery about those sorts of things, our Wednesday morning service, we've still got some folks that have started coming back that are joining us on Wednesdays at 10:30. So that opportunity is there as well. So we're looking forward to that next week. With that note, the order of service is before you. Let us sing.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Saint Mark, the fourth chapter.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Are you indispensable? Does someone, somewhere, always need you? Is your cell phone on and ready to grab at a moment's notice, even in the middle of church? Seems that way, doesn't it? In contrast, and not just because he didn't have a cell phone, Martin Luther had a very profound sense of his own non-necessity. He once said, "While I drink my glass of Wittenberg beer, the gospel runs its course." That's how a man who is free in the gospel can talk. He can preach the word, step down from the pulpit, and have a glass of Wittenberg beer. Confident that the word is at work killing and making alive. He doesn't need to be constantly busy. I mean, certainly, Luther had plenty to do. One time he also said, "I have so much to do today that I'm going to spend 3 hours in prayer." But he trusted the Word of God to do its work so that he could sit back and have his Wittenberg beer in peace. Unfortunately, the church today has lost a lot of that confidence. We're busier than ever. We're working harder than ever. We're running around more than ever. We're assigning committees more than ever. And so even when we have our Wittenberg beer, it's with cell phone in hand, waiting for it to ring. It's management by crisis. Just like in the government, everything seems to be a crisis in the church today. We have a crisis in missions. We have a crisis in our rural churches. There's a crisis in our urban churches. There's a crisis in pastoral formation. There's a crisis among the youth. It's just one crisis after another. And there are the continual barrages from leaders to extend the kingdom, to grow the kingdom, to further the kingdom. And in all of the busyness of the kingdom building, we forget what Luther taught about thy kingdom come. That the kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayers, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. And that's the point of the parable of the seed. The sower sows his seed into the earth, and then he goes about his routine. He sleeps, he wakes, he goes to the store, he fixes dinner, he has his own glass of Wittenberg beer, and all the while, the seed that is sown in the earth sprouts and it grows, and the sower doesn't have a clue as to how it works. It happens automatically. And that's the key word in the text, automate. Automatically, without any poking, without any prodding, the seed in the ground produces fruit. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, the harvest follows. And all of it happens automatically. Gardeners know this. You plant the seed in the soil, you cover it up, you water it, but most of all, you leave it alone. Because if you go out there every morning and you dig up your seed to see what it's doing, you're going to wind up killing it. But leave it alone, it'll do just fine. Jesus tells you that it's the same in the kingdom of God. Let Jesus do his work, And he does just fine, automatically. He is the word, the seed sown into the earth. He is the kernel of wheat who dies and is buried, who rises and bears much fruit. The whole earth rises from the dead by the power of his one little resurrection. So with Jesus' resurrection comes a harvest of the new creation. And no one quite knows exactly how it works. It just does. Automatically. So the crucified and risen Jesus upon this world that's full of losers and deadbeats and plain old sinners, and then let him do his work. He works just fine. So dead and risen Jesus into any old heart, he works just fine. He forgives sinners. He raises the dead. Your anxiety and your worry and your busyness add nothing to what Jesus does. They just take the joy out of being a part of it. The Word of God works automatically. All you do is plant it, which hardly requires an advanced degree in evangelism science. You don't need a seminary degree to say to someone, God is at peace with you in the death of Jesus. Your life is in Jesus. Trust in him. Let yourself be baptized into him. Live off of him and worship him. Anyone can say that. Even the smallest child, armed with the Apostles' Creed, has more than enough know-how to plant the seed of the kingdom. Because you don't have to know how it works. You need only to know that it works and trust that it works automatically. Part of the problem, though, and the reason the church is always tinkering and meddling is because you trust your eyes instead of your ears. Because you're impressed with big buildings and big crowds and a good show, and you start to think that God's kingdom can be measured in the same way that business and celebrity is measured. Success becomes a sign of God's acceptance and approval. Successful churches are growing churches, as though all growth were necessarily good. But as some of you know all too well, cancer grows, often uncontrolled. Weeds grow uncontrollably as well. So the issue is whether the growth is a healthy growth from the good seed of Jesus or some sort of Christian cancer that's growing out of control. And so Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a single mustard seed, tiny, insignificant, often overlooked. You could barely pick it up between your fingers. And after you bury it in the ground, it's as good as lost. But it grows into this huge shrub with enough room in all of its branches for birds to make a nest. And so this parable isn't about the growth of the kingdom, but it's about how small and how insignificant God's kingdom seems to be. It's not about growing churches and adding to the kingdom's numbers, but about how God our Father reveals himself in the small, in the weak, in the hidden, and in the insignificant. Because the crowning moment for the king of this kingdom was his cross. With the exception of a handful of followers, the world barely took notice on that Friday when Jesus hung on his cross. But in that mustard seed-sized death is packed the death of all and the life of the whole world, the forgiveness of every sin, the resurrection of all of the dead, the reconciliation of the world to God. You wouldn't have known it looking at Jesus on his cross. You can only trust it. As St. Paul reminds you, what is seen is temporary, What is unseen is eternal. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. A kingdom that's the size of a mustard seed is all that you're given to see of God's reign. And in our world today, that kingdom just seems to get smaller and smaller every day, doesn't it? The signs of that kingdom are just as small. Holy baptism. It's not much to look at, right? But it is the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit in the death of Jesus. The words of forgiveness. Again, not much to look at, but it is genuine 100% forgiveness spoken personally to you from the mouth of Almighty God. And the Lord's Supper. Not much to look at there either. Yet there is the very same body and blood of Jesus which hung on that cross on Golgotha, his sacrificial death by which you live. The very power of his death and his resurrection in your mouth. And it's so easy to overlook them. They are mustard seeds in a world that barely notices such tiny little things. Yet here is the power of God to your salvation. Here is the power of Jesus to forgive your sins, to raise you from the dead. Here is the kingdom that begins like a tiny mustard seed with one lonely death on a cross. And it ends with a cross-shaped tree of life big enough to embrace the entire world. That's the powerful little seed that God has put into your hands. Scatter that seed recklessly as you're gifted and as you're able. Tell the good news of Jesus to those around you. Sow it with joy, free from anxiety, free from the worry about success or failure, because you have not been called by God to be successful. But to be faithful. Faithful and trusting in the seed that has been sown in you too. And that you sow as you can. And then, like the sower at the end of the day, relax. Turn off the blasted cell phone. Enjoy your glass of Wittenberg beer. Knowing that the hidden word of Jesus is always at work in you and for you automatically. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.